الحمد لله وكفى سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الشهر الحرام بالشهر الحرام and the forbidden months the holy months are against the holy months الشهر الحرام بالشهر الحرام the holy months are against the holy months or the holy months are for the holy months what does that mean there are certain parts of the Quran which require always some parts are very self explanatory some parts of the Quran always require a commentary on this So, الشهر الحرام بالشهر الحرام requires commentary. There is no question about this. That the sacred months are for the sacred months. The holy months are for the holy months. What does that mean? So, the Mufassirin, the commentators have said that the holy months, the شهر الحرام, the holy months are those months in which you stop fighting. There is no fighting between non-Muslims and Muslims. So holy months are those months. So you, the holy months are for the holy months means that you will stop fighting in the holy months only if they stop fighting in the holy months. Shahrul Haram is for the Shahrul Haram. If you consider these months holy and they also consider it holy, then you stop. So Shahrul Haram is for the Shahrul Haram. Or the holy months are for the holy months. So that means that you will only stop fighting. These months are holy for you. And what are these months? These months are the months of Hajj. Shawwal, Zilqa'dah and Zilhajj. So Islam prohibits you to fight in these months. But it, this prohibition is only if this prohibition is also understood by the other party as well. So Ash-Shahrul Haram بِالشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ The holy month is for the holy month. You will stop fighting in the holy month if they stop fighting in the holy month. وَالْحُرُمَاتُ قِسَاسٌ And this holiness is reciprocal. What is reciprocal? Huh? Looks like a SAT exam question. Ji, Faizan, what is reciprocal? mathematical answer. Reciprocal means that this hurumat or this holiness or this sacredness of the month is reciprocal. That means that it will only be there if the other person also respects it. Right? When there is reciprocality or whatever in this thing, you know. So only then you can make these months sacred. If the other party does not think that these are sacred months and they go on fighting, then there's you know then you also fight. That's what it means.
One cannot initiate fighting.
One cannot initiate fighting. Muslims cannot initiate fighting in these months.
And it is still practiced.
It is still a rule of Islam. Yes. فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ And if they transgress over you And what does transgress mean? Ji Transgress means to cross the boundaries, right? To fight, but to fight in a way that you cross the boundaries. If they transgress over you, they cross the boundary, what does it mean? That they also do not respect these holy months. They cross the boundaries, فَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ Then you also cross the boundaries. بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ According to the, in the manner in which they have transgressed. So in the manner in which they have transgressed, what does it mean? That when you fight, you have to understand the boundaries of fighting. In Islam, everything is not allowed in war. So there's a very famous English saying, yeah, everything is fair in love and war, huh? So in Islam, not everything is fair in love and war. لو میں جو فیئر ہے وہ بعد میں بتاؤں گا, بٹ وار کے اندر کیونکہ آیا تو بھی وار والی چل رہی ہے نا. تو ایوری تھنگ از ناٹ فیئر ان لو, ایوری تھنگ از ناٹ, دیر آر باؤنڈریز آف وار از ویل. اینڈ ون آف دوز باؤنڈریز دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ہیز سیڈ دیٹ وین یو فائٹ یو کین ناٹ فائٹ اگینسٹ ویمن, کانٹ فائٹ اگینسٹ چلڈرن, can't fight against elderly people, people who are not equipped to fight against you, you don't fight against them. Can't even touch the priest of other religions. If there is a priest, person sitting in his worshipping place and he's worshipping, kis cheez ki baat hai? Mike. And if he's worshipping, in his worship area, then the person who is even in a state of jihad against that religion or that country cannot touch these type of people. And common people who are not equipped to fight, who don't fight against you, you're also not supposed to fight against them. So you fight the people who are fighting against you. So that is why there are boundaries in Islam. There are boundaries to fight as well. You cannot just go on fighting. And that is why Allah Ta'ala says in the next ayah or in the next part of this ayah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ and fear Allah. Why? Because when people have weapons in their hand, then this weapon actually makes you powerful, and then you end up using this weapon unnecessarily, or you end up using this weapon in a way which is not correct. There is a saying in English, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So when you have some power in your hand, when you have weapon, then you are bound to actually do things which are wrong. So those people who have power, who have weapons, and they say that, okay, we only have power and weapon so that we can do right. But sometimes because of this weapon, because of this power, they end up doing things wrong. So weapon actually makes you a person powerful. Now you have to have this taqwa, this fear of Allah. That this weapon should only be used for the right thing and not for the wrong thing. So that is why Allah Ta'ala says that وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ, you should fear Allah, وَعْلَمُوا, and know أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that surely Allah is the one with those who fear Allah, with the muttaqeen. So the word wattaqullah, again, it has come many, many, many times in the Quran. Dozens of times. Many, many ayahs of the Quran, and many ayahs of the Quran addressing the Muslims, Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu taqullah, O those who believe, fear Allah. And this same ayah has come in the Quran, in different areas of the Quran. So this fearing Allah is actually the amount of time this has come in the Quran, this becomes the central idea of the Quran. That one should develop this sense of fear of Allah. This is the fear of Allah that stops a man from transgressing the boundary. What is the fear of Allah? What is the definition of fear of Allah? The Prophet ﷺ has given us a definition. There is an ayah of the Quran, Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. So there is at least three ayahs that I can read right now, which has the same line. Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqatihi. Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu taqullah wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. Same part of the ayah and repeated again and again and again. So the Prophet ﷺ gave an explanation that what is the meaning of fearing Allah? Who is the one who truly fears Allah? The Prophet ﷺ has said that the one who truly fears Allah is the one who always obeys all the orders of Allah and never disobeys. So there are three things about that person. One, he always obeys, never ever disobeys. Second, he always does shukr of Allah, never does nashukri of Allah, right? He's always thankful of Allah. He's never ungrateful, never thankless of the favors of Allah. And the third thing the Prophet ﷺ has said, that he's always remembering Allah, never forgets Allah. So this is the sign of the person who is truly muttaqi, truly fears Allah. So these are three very difficult steps, huh? Always obeying, never ever disobeying Allah, right? And we disobey Allah, mashallah, many times during the day. Sometimes through our eyes, sometimes through our tongues, sometimes through our thinking, our brains, sometimes through our hands, sometimes through our legs, sometimes, and a lot of times through our tongues. We say these things, or we do things, which actually makes other people very upset with us. So how can you become somebody who never ever disobeys Allah? Never ever is ungrateful of Allah. And we are very ungrateful of Allah. Actually people think that, no, I have never ever said anything against Allah or never ever have been ungrateful to Allah. Actually we don't understand what does it mean to be ungrateful of Allah. What it means is that when you are showing anger all the time, it means that you are being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you are not happy with the situation that Allah has made for you. That is why you are being ungrateful. So ungratefulness does not mean that you say ungrateful things with your mouth. Your show of anger is also a show of ungratefulness. So three things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. Never disobey Allah, and never be ungrateful, and never ever forget Allah. That is also very difficult. So these three difficult things, they become easy for one type of person. That is the question. Who is that type of person for whom these three things? Because for normal people, attaining this type of taqwa, that never disobey Allah, never be ungrateful to Allah, never forget Allah, is difficult. But for one person it becomes easy. Who is that type of person? Ji. One who remains in the company of these type of people. The one who goes in the company of people who have this taqwa, then he attains this taqwa. This is the only way. That is why the Sahaba, they became people like this. Because they went in the company of this, such a superior type of sohbat, superior type of companionship of the Prophet ﷺ. So this tradition has continued on and on, even till this date. So people who go in the company of Ahlullah, people who go in the company of, you know, the pious scholars, then they attain some of this type of taqwa. But they never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wattaqullah. That is why people say that people, when they go to the Ahlullah, or when they go to the pious people, the scholars, generally people think that they only go there so that they can ask them to make dua for them. Or because they're disturbed in their lives, that is why they go to these pious people. But the true maqsad, the true purpose of going in the company of the pious people is to attain this taqwa, this fear of Allah. So, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And know that Allah is with the one who fears Allah. Ji. tunfiqu fi sabilillah. And spend in the path of Allah. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. أَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ and spend in the path of Allah. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ and don't put yourself with your own hands إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ towards destruction. So now from this part of the ayah, one understands that spending in the path of Allah is very good, and spending makes you a person who is close to Allah. Spending gives you piety, right? Allah Ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That unless and until you spend that which you love, you will never become pious. So it gives you piety. But not spending actually, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِكُمْ. Spend in the path of Allah and don't throw yourself into destruction with your own hands. That somebody who does not spend in the path of Allah, he's destroying himself. Allah. So it is not something voluntary for us. All Muslims will have to spend in the path of Allah. Otherwise, there is destruction for them. These are the words of the Quran. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Spend in the path of Allah. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. And don't put yourself in destruction with your own hands. So when somebody does not spend in the path of Allah, the barakah is taken away from the rizq. And one is obligatory spending. What is that obligatory spending? It is the zakat, right? And then there is the other, the nafl spending, which is charity. And the more that a person spends, the more barakah comes in the wealth. The Prophet ﷺ said that your wealth does not reduce by doing sadaqah. It increases by doing sadaqah. And what happens that when somebody spends, Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in his rizq, in his sustenance. So the Prophet ﷺ tells us about this poor man in the time of Musa alayhi salam. And he was very poor and he didn't have much to eat. So sometimes 3 or 4 days would pass and he would have nothing to eat. And then he would get something to eat. And then again 3, 4, 5 days would pass and he would have nothing to eat. And then again he would get something to eat. So he was very sick and tired of this situation. And finally he met Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was passing by his village. So he said, I'm going to go to this Prophet of Allah and will ask him to make dua for me. So he went to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and he told Musa alayhi salam, O Prophet of Allah, make dua for me. That whatever risk Allah has set for me, Allah gives me all the risk together at one time. So at least for a few days, I spend my time with peace. I'm always at discomfort because there is not enough for me to eat. Always I am looking for food. So if I get all my risk at one time, for a few days at least I will be able to live happily and would eat, you know, nicely. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua. So he got all of his risk together. So there was, you know, a few bags of food for him that was given to him. Musa alayhi salam looked at his wrist and Musa alayhi salam thought that maybe for another month or 2 months, if he eats properly, all of this risk is going to finish. Then he's going to die. Because this is his total risk and Allah has given him all of it together at one time. So Musa alayhi salam looked at it, and then Musa alayhi salam left because Musa alayhi salam had to go to some other place. After 3 or 4 months, or after a long time, Musa alayhi salam was passing by this village again. And Musa alayhi salam remembered, oh, let me go check. What is the state of this man who asked me to make this dua? He probably is dead by now because all of his risk is probably finished. So Musa alayhi salam went looking for him, and he found him. And when Musa alayhi salam found him, he saw that this man is living in a very beautiful house, and he has lots of servants, and he has lots of food, and he was living like a king. And Musa alayhi salam was surprised, and he made dua, oh Allah, this was the same poor man, didn't have enough to eat. And I made dua that gave him all his risk together, and now he looks like a king. He's having a ball. He's having a ball. He's having fun, huh? So then he finally went to this man, and he asked, what happened? I thought you were dead by now, and you have so much food, and you have so many servants, you have such a beautiful house. So Musa alayhi salam made this dua, that, oh Allah, tell me how this happened. Allah Ta'ala said to Musa, oh my dear Musa, I have a rule, that the one who spends in my path, I give barakah in his risk. I return the risk to him and I multiply it for him. As soon as you left, you gave him all, you made dua for him and I gave him his risk. He started spending out of his risk. He started giving it to other people. And he started sharing it with other people. He would give sadaqah because he had so much. And I started giving him back, multiplied. And that is why, till the time he is going to spend on other people, I am going to spend on him. This is the way I work with people who spend in my path. So the one who spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the barakah in his risk is increased. But this ayah is different. It is telling you that if you don't spend in the path of Allah, you will destroy yourself with your own hands. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't throw yourself in destruction with your own hands. بِأَيْدِيَكُمْ. So that is why spending in the path of Allah is a beautiful thing. In a hadith it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given risk, given huge amount of risk to certain people. The only reason for giving them this risk is so that they spend on other people. There was a sahabi who came in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, I have this one brother of mine and he doesn't do any work. I do the work. And he says that I only want to go in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and learn deen from him. And he doesn't do any work, I have to do all the work. Do you think this is fair? And the Prophet ﷺ said that you are getting risk because of him. Sometimes you are given a risk because of the weaker ones in your house. But we are stingy. We don't want to do work for other people. We don't want to give money to other people. We don't want to do anything for other people. That is why we are the lowest of the low. Because the one who gives benefits to other people, favors to other people, they are the highest of the high. The Prophet ﷺ has said, خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. The best one among people are the one who are beneficial for other people, who give favors to other people. So we only care about ourselves. Me, myself, how will I get money? How will I feed myself? How will I have fun? And the best ones amongst us are, how will these poor people feed themselves? How will this poor relative of mine will take care of him? How is this poor sister of mine can get what she wants? This is what the thinking of the moment is. He's thinking about others more than he thinks about himself. This is what gives barakah in his rizq. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't throw yourself in destruction with your own hands. And how do you throw yourself in destruction? By not spending on other people. وَأَحْسِنُوا. This is the other part of the ayah. And what does it mean? وَأَحْسِنُوا. Gee. And do good deeds. Right? You should do good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala loves the one, loves those who do good deeds. This ayah of the Quran tells you to do good deeds. And it is a reality. إِدْفَى بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. That you drive the bad deeds that you have done through good deeds that you do. This is a rule. All of us are sinners. All of us do bad deeds. None of us can complain, none of us can claim that I never do any bad. The Prophet ﷺ has said, Kullu bani Adam khata'un. All of the children of Adam alayhi salam are sinners. All of them commit sins. Nobody can be perfect. So all of us do bad deeds. But then, doing bad deeds does not mean that now you should sit down and not do any good deeds. Sometimes people just come and they say, oh, I missed my Fajr prayers and I committed this one very big sin, now I don't even want to pray. Bhai, ye kya baat hai? Ek to pehle gunah kiya hai, upar se jo namaz padh rahe the wo bhi nahi padh rahe. So when you commit bad deeds, now you should, your mind should work in this way that now I should drive this bad deed through some good deeds. إِدْفَى بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. So these doing these good deeds actually help you drive away these bad deeds. That, oh, I've committed this bad deed, now I cannot even do those good deeds that I'm usually doing. In fact, it should happen like this. That when you do bad deeds, you should do more good deeds. So those bad deeds are wiped out. So there were friends of ours in the US and they were going to medical school, young people. And the biggest problem for young people is their sexual desire. And in medical field, you're exposed to body parts. So people who do medicine, they understand this, they're very much exposed to body parts. And Muslims are not allowed to look at the body parts of other women. So young men, they always are in a state of doing bad deeds when they go to medical school. So this young man who came up to this one sheikh, the sheikh, I go to medical school and I'm exposed to so many body parts of women. And this is such a bad deed. And when I do this, when I come back home, I don't even feel like praying. And the Shaykh told him, no. When you come back home, sit down first and do one whole tasbih of astaghfar. And do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then start your day when you come back home from work. Because good deeds, they drive out the bad deeds. The looking at na-mahram, the effect that has on your heart, now you remove that effect through the remembrance of Allah, through doing istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do this istighfar, after coming back from medical school, then when you have this habit, during the medical school also you will do this. So this is how it helped him. And that man became so pious that finally he became a scholar and alim. And then finally he was a guiding light for many different people. So bad deeds do not mean that you stop doing good deeds. Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَحْسِنُوا. Do good deeds. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The one who does good deeds, Allah Ta'ala loves it. Okay, fine, you've done, you've committed a very big sin. But this ayah of the Quran says that when you start doing good deeds, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala now loves you. It cannot happen that you're doing good deeds and Allah is not loving you. Because it is the ayah of the Quran. So you should not stop doing good deeds. No matter how bad a deed that you have done. In fact, Allah Ta'ala says that in doing good deeds, you should compete with each other. So the ayah of the Quran is, فَاسْتَبَقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Compete with each other in good deeds. So Deen of Islam tells you not to compete in the worldly things. But in doing good deeds, the Deen says that you should compete with each other. So Sahaba, they used to love each other. They used to respect each other. They used to show love and show compassion to each other. But when it came to doing good deeds, they would compete with each other as well. So much was the compassion of the Sahaba that in the battlefield, one Sahabi was about to die and some other companion, he came and he told him, have some water. Now he was full of blood and full of sweat and he wanted water so badly. But there was so little amount of water, he said, no, don't give this to me. Give this to my friend, my brother there who's also dying. So this was the compassion and love for each other. But when it came to good deeds, they would compete with each other as well. Umar radiallahu anhu used to think that every time the Prophet says that you should spend in the path of Allah, Abu Bakr spends the most. Because he has some wealth. And now Umar radiallahu anhu also had some wealth. So when he thought that he has more wealth than Abu Bakr, he thought to himself that now I will spend more. So the Prophet ﷺ made an announcement, you spend in the path of Allah. Because Muslims need help. So Umar ﷺ said, now is my chance to go ahead of Abu Bakr ﷺ. See, so the top two Sahabas are competing with each other in good deeds. So even the Sahaba used to compete. So Umar radiallahu anhu spent half of all of his wealth in the path of Allah. And he brought all his belongings, half of all his belongings in front of the Prophet ﷺ. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought a smaller bag. Looked like Umar radiallahu anhu spent more and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spent less. So the Prophet ﷺ asked both of them, that Abu Bakr, Umar, tell me how much have you left for your family? He said, half of it I brought for you, for the Muslims, for charity. And half I have left for my family. And Abu Bakr's was a smaller bag, a smaller belonging. So the Prophet ﷺ asked, okay, what have you left for your family? And Abu Bakr ﷺ said, the only thing I have left for my family is Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Umar Rasulullah said that I can never ever compete with Abu Bakr in doing good deeds. So you should compete in doing good deeds. Not only you should do good deeds, but you should fight with each other in doing good deeds. So last one incident, and then inshallah we'll wrap up the class. There was a laborer who used to live across Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. A person used to work with his hand the whole day. And this laborer was a pious man, but he only used to pray 5 times a day. Because the whole day he had to work, from the morning all the way till the evening. And when he would pray his Isha prayers, after praying Isha, he would be so tired that he would go to sleep and he would wake up at Fajr. But when he would be going to his bed, he would see that across his house is the house of Ahmad bin Hanbal. And Ahmad bin Hanbal now is going upstairs on his roof. And Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi would now worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will pray rakats nawafil the whole night. And when he would see Ahmad bin Hanbal doing this, he would feel very, very sad. He would say, I wish that I did not have this difficult job throughout the day. I would have done the same. That I would also go on the rooftop and I would do nafal ibadah the whole night the way Ahmad bin Hanbal does. So he used to say this to himself every night. And this was his desire. And he was true in his desire. It was not possible for him to worship the way Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi used to. So when he died, somebody saw this laborer in his dream. And in his dream he asked him, what happened? What did Allah Ta'ala do to you? Did he forgive you? And this laborer, he said that Allah gave me the same status as Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, because every night I used to desire that I worship Allah the way he's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this desire to compete in good deeds actually gives you the status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, the question is, how does one get this desire to do good deeds? What is the answer? Jee, Jawad Sahib, what is the answer? Company of the pious people. Huh? In the end, all the answers go to one place. Company of the pious people. Jisko jis cheez se fayda hota hai na, wo aage se wohi cheez batata hai. So this company of the pious people actually changes the lives, changes the inside of the human being, makes him ready to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do worship of Allah and to do his zikr and to do his shukr. I'll do the translation one more time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ash-shahrul haram bish-shahril haram. And the sacred months are for the sacred months. وَالْحُرُمَاتُ قِصَاصٌ. And the sacredness is reciprocal. فَمَنِ اَعْتَذَى عَلَيْكُمْ. And the one who transgresses over you, فَاَعْتَذُوا عَلَيْهِ. You should also transgress over him. بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَذَى عَلَيْكُمْ. According in the manner in which he has transgressed. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah. وَاعْلَمُوا. And know. أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And Allah is with the muttaqeens, with those who fear Allah. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And spend in the path of Allah. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. And don't throw yourself towards destruction with your own hands. وَأَحْسِنُوا. And do good deeds. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And verily Allah is with the ones who do, Allah loves those who do good deeds. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.